Okay. My name is Robert Morwitz. I'm going to be on the ballot as Bob Morwitz. I'm running for the Iowa House District 83 seat that Jerry Kearns is retiring from this year. I grew up in Burlington. I lived there shortly after high school. I moved to Mount Pleasant, worked there for a while. Then I joined the U.S. Navy. Spent 5 years active duty in the Navy, mostly in Norfolk, Virginia, shipboard stationed. When I got out of the service, I went back to Burlington, worked in Burlington for a few years, started my electrical apprenticeship 31 years ago and moved to Fort Madison, Iowa, to kind of be centrally located where the work was at. And I'd also met Beverly Gobble, my wife, and I've lived in Fort Madison ever since. I've been very involved with Fort Madison since I moved there. I've been on a couple of city boards. I was on the electrical board for many years before the state took over electrical licensing. I was on the Historic Preservation Commission for many years, helped get a couple of historic districts in Fort Madison set up. Currently a city councilman in Fort Madison. I'm also involved with the Democratic Party quite extensively in Lee County. I'm currently the vice chair of the Lee County Democrats. I do a lot of volunteer work, several different community organizations that rely on volunteer people to get things done. I do that and donate to a lot of other groups and very civically involved.
And before we even get into some of the nuts and bolts of it, obviously as a current city council member, have you checked with the ethics board, all the secretary of state to make sure you could be on the city council and the state legislature, or would you have to resign from the city council?
I would have to resign from the city council because you can't be in, there are only a couple of commissions or boards you can be on. Both of them are ag-related, and city council is not one of them, so I would have to resign my post in January when I take my seat in the Iowa House.
What made you decide that you wanted to make that jump? You've recently joined the city council, but what has made it where you said, you know what, I want to go serve in Des Moines, I want to serve in the legislature? What was that?
Part of it was that I really hadn't anticipated on making the run because I didn't know that Jerry was going to retire so soon. I've always been involved with things in the community, and I want to get things done. And being on the city council and with the county party, I pay a lot of attention to what goes on up in Des Moines. And it's very upsetting to me, the actions for the last 2 years that have gone on. And I wanted to make changes in Fort Madison, and I've gotten some changes through, and I'm still working on others. But a lot of the things that I want to do in Fort Madison, I found out that the state kind of holds us back. You know, Iowa is supposed to be a home rule state. And when I talked to our city manager, I said, why aren't we doing this or why aren't we doing that? And they said, well, the state won't let us. And I said, well, isn't this home rule? And he says, in name only, because whenever we try to do something, the state says, no, you can't. So I would like to get us back to a home rule state where some of the areas that are neglected from the Des Moines, such as Fort Madison and Keokuk, that we can do some innovative things that work for us. It may not work for the rest of the state, but we don't get that chance to do it.
What are some of those examples? What's an example or two of maybe something that if Fort Madison, if Lee County had that ability that the state wasn't blocking them, that you'd like to see done?
One of the things that I noticed early, was Lee County supervisors wanted to add a higher minimum wage, and we wanted to raise it to $15. And we have a problem in Fort Madison also that the wages aren't as high as we need to have them. We have a lot of people that are on assistance of some type because of their wages. And when the state said that we, you know, other areas have already raised their rates, and Lee County tried to raise theirs. And then the state came around and said that, no, everybody's going to be at the base $7.65 or whatever it is, the rate. And that was one of the things that really upset me with what's going on in the state. I asked about other programs, and I don't know specifically what they were because I mentioned different things. And when they said, no, we can't do that, the state doesn't allow us. And I thought, that's crazy because, you know, we need to have these things done because Fort Madison and Keokuk are not like Des Moines and Iowa City and Cedar Rapids. You know, we don't have the same base that they have, and it makes it difficult for us to compete in the state for jobs and the different programs that we need. So those are just some things I want to try and change.
Before we get into some of the specific issues, what are those qualities and characteristics that you would bring as a state legislature?
One of our councilmen I work with, he said, you know, Bob, you're like a bulldog. You know, you grab onto an idea and you don't let it go until it's done. And that's one of my things that it takes. I don't just jump to a conclusion on something. I research and think about both sides, and I talk to people and get their opinions, because just because I think one way doesn't mean I know everything, and so I like to get other views, and then I kind of parse those ideas and come up with what I think would be the best, fairest way of doing something. And once I've convinced myself, then I try to convince others and stick to it. I have a very diverse background. Going through the 1980s, it was a difficult time after I got out of the service that the economy was not good, and I went through a few jobs, not because I was a bad worker, but the companies were struggling. And so I did engineering work, I did sales work, I sold real estate for a while, and finally got into the apprenticeship program for the electricians, and have been with that now for 31 years. So I've been to a point where I was on food stamps. So I know what it's like when people say, you know, we just can't afford those taxes. We can't afford this program. We need help here. We need help there. I understand what they're going through. And I pay attention to what goes on. You know, like I said, I'm with the city council and the party items. There's so much going on that it's hard to keep up with everything. But I try to keep up as much as I can and really analyze things.
You mentioned early on, and you kind of touched on it with the home rule and stuff and the minimum wage, some what you're seeing in Des Moines and that you don't like what you're seeing. What are some of the other issues that really concern you about what's going on in Des Moines, and how would you work on those?
Well, they've done so much damage to the working families of Iowa over the last 2 years that we rely on our hospital here to a lot, and with the Medicaid system, the way they've totally turned it upside down. I know the Medicaid system wasn't perfect before. We had a few issues, but we could have easily fixed those. But now with private companies trying to make a profit and we're still trying to, you know, get the care we need to everybody, it's difficult. We have issues with people not getting authorized to get medical treatment. We have doctors and hospitals that aren't getting paid on time or getting paid at all on different procedures. And it makes it difficult for us because Keokuk Community Hospital and Fort Madison, they both have a lot of Medicaid recipients. And that's a bad thing with Lee County, that we do have a lot of people who are needing assistance. And it makes it difficult when the doctors aren't getting their pay and the hospital's not getting their pay, that everybody else ends up paying those bills. So it, just because you're not on Medicaid doesn't mean you're not getting hurt by it.
Would you look to go back to where the state management instead of the privatizing of it is? Is that the solution?
I think it is, because when we were doing it ourselves, we only had it was 3% or 4% administrative cost. And the care was there, and doctors were getting paid, and the hospitals were getting paid, and patients were being taken care of. Right now, there seems to be, we just keep feeding more money into this program to try and keep it going, and I haven't seen any numbers where they've shown that it's saved us any money. I think it's costing us more money. I know it's costing our citizens more money because of the lack of care they're getting, that it hurts everybody, because if people aren't getting treated, they miss work, you know, so companies are hurting. The people can't pay their bills, so the different companies that rely on them to purchase their products and banks that need the businesses, they aren't, you know, they're losing money too. So it hurts us all the way around. And there's also the mental health issue that we used to have the facility in Mount Pleasant, which is not right next door, but it's pretty close, and it made it easy for people who needed help to get the help. And when the state shut those down, we didn't have anything around. You know, they said, well, the hospitals will pick it up and different companies will pick it up, and that didn't happen. So we ended up having the sheriff's deputies driving people all the way up to Des Moines to get treatment. And then they come back, and then after the people get done with their treatment, then they drive back up to get them. And so that's costing us money. And the sheriff is not there to take care of mental health issues. That's not his job. But that's become our job. And the state realized that they had a problem and tried to come up with a fix. So they've created six regional mental health services, and our closest one would be in Marion, and that's still quite a ways away. Plus, they didn't provide any funding for it. So now the counties and cities and will have to take care of that funding, and it's good. We don't have the money. You know, the supervisor, Lee County supervisors, just went through a budget that they had to make several cuts just to make things balance. So we don't have any extra to provide mental health services.
What would be the approach that you would like to see when it comes to mental health care? Would it be going back to when the Mount Pleasant Institute was open? Or is there a new approach? I mean, how should mental health care look in Iowa?
Well, I'm not sure. That's not my expertise. I would have to rely on others to give me that information on how it would best work. Going back to our old way would, of course, that would be one way of doing it, but we've lost the facilities, we've lost the trained personnel to do that. You're starting from scratch. So whether that's the best way to go or not at this time, we need to look at a variety of ways of doing it and kind of pick out the best. But we have to have the funds to do it. And it's not like Iowa's in a tough spot. The last 2 years, the economy for the entire state of Iowa has been booming, just like the country. And we've had more revenue coming in than ever before. But we have millions of dollars going out that we don't have any idea what's going on. We have $600 million a year that goes out in tax exemptions for or tax credits for a variety of business entities. And nobody monitors where that money goes. There's no oversight. I'm not against helping companies to create more jobs, expand their business, bring more income into the state, increase our tax revenues by it. But if it's not doing that, we need to be changing where that money goes. We have so many needs for the people that aren't being met, whether it's mental health, schools, our infrastructure, that we can't be wasting money just throwing it at companies that aren't doing something to help the state of Iowa.
So you would be okay with maintaining the idea of offering tax credits and incentives, but kind of with much more oversight, and if they're not meeting the standards, maybe even going so far as to pull them?
Correct. Just like with our commercial and industrial real estate tax reduction. We needed some relief for some businesses, but not everyone. But we just did a blanket across-the-board reduction. And our downtown businesses, Main Street business, they needed some help. They struggle to make things go, and the economy has been up and down for them just like everybody else. But when you have companies like, I always use Walmart as my example, because for them, the real estate tax reduction didn't make that much difference. You know, that money went to Arkansas, most likely. Part of it was that the governor said when we do this reduction that the companies will be able to reinvest that money in their businesses, expand and grow, and all this growth would zero out the losses that we had in our real estate taxes. And when you build a Walmart store, you build it for so many customers, like a 20,000 customer base. You reduce their taxes, they still have 20,000 customer base. They're not going to expand their store. And in fact, they've been reducing the number of employees in stores, and that's not the way we want to go. And even companies like our local Siemens plant, that they get orders for 200 blades, they're going to have facilities for 200 blades. You give them a tax reduction, they're still going to have orders for 200 blades. It's not going to make that much difference. When Siemens had their big layoff and just a few months ago, and they had a job fair, and there were several companies that came in on this job fair, and I went to the job fair, and I talked to most, not most, I talked to several of the companies, and I asked them different things about their worker needs and their issues they have and whether the tax reduction created any growth in their companies, and none of them said it made any difference, that their growth is based on supply and demand, that if they have the product need, they'll make the factory or expand the factory to meet the need. But just by reducing their taxes didn't make any difference to them.
What do you think then is the key, or what can be done at the legislative level? I mean, how can you help with job growth? And while then maybe the businesses aren't expanding, but bringing in new businesses or helping those that want to maybe add employees, what can be done at the state level? How would you push for helping with job growth, especially in the Southeast Iowa corner?
Well, Lee County, our biggest issue is having the educated workforce that the companies are looking for. And when I was doing research 6 years ago, the statistics I heard was that, and this is from the Lee County Economic Development Group, they said that 26% of our workforce, which includes parts of Clark County and parts of Illinois, Henderson, Hancock County, Illinois, that the workforce here, 26% don't have a high school education or a GED. Now, the governor has put out a guideline that she wants 70% of our workforce to have some education beyond high school, whether it be a technical degree, an associate's degree, a bachelor's, or farther. And when we're starting off with a 26% deficit, it makes it difficult. And part of the problem is with our budget, because we haven't had allowable growth in our schools for many years. They've allowed us 1% growth, and inflation is higher than that, so it's like taking money away from us. And then when they reduce their budget because of shortfalls in revenue, and they took $50 million out of our current budget throughout the state, and $10 million of it came out of our community colleges, and another, I think it was $600,000, came out of our community colleges. And we rely on Southeastern Community College here to train the people for the jobs we're looking for. So if they're getting budget cuts, and they're already bare bones now on what they can supply, it makes it difficult. They're going to have to either cut classes or cut teachers or both. And we need those. So, you know, education is our biggest issue, that we have to have the workforce here for them to be attractive to companies.
And that was actually the issue I wanted to get into next, was education. You touched on it. Allowable growth has been much lower than what local superintendents, local school boards have said it needs to be. But there's only that certain amount of money, and if you're putting money into education, you might have to take it from somewhere else. Are there areas that you think could be funded less, could be cut, to maybe help get more of that money into education, to help with the workforce, to help with maybe job growth?
Well, that's where I go back to the $600 million in tax credits we give out that we don't monitor. I think a lot of that money can be taken back. Some of these companies, John Deere and Rockwell Collins, they're multi-billion dollar corporations. I don't think the money that we're supplying them is going to cripple them if we take it away, that they're going to still do what they need to be doing. The multi-billion dollar corporations never seem to have a problem finding funds somewhere, but we do. And so I think we need to redirect some of that money. And I know business is a very competitive thing, that we need to be able to attract businesses. We have to compete with every other state, and Lee County has to compete with every other county in the state to try and attract businesses. And sometimes you have to give some tax incentives. But if they're not doing what we want them to do, we need to change our position on that.
I want to get a few more issues in here as we discuss. A lot of talk always about the Second Amendment, gun control. Iowa in recent years has tried to loosen the grip a bit, making it easier for people to obtain guns, less restrictions on where guns can be brought to. Do you think there needs to be more of a control, of a restriction on the use in Iowa? Are you okay with the direction that things are going right now when it comes to gun control and availability in Iowa?
Well, Iowa's always had a pretty strong history of gun ownership. We were a frontier area and relied on ourselves to take care of ourselves way back when, and we're big in hunting. Gun sports is very popular. I'm a strong Second Amendment person. Like I said, I was in the Navy for 5 years, and I swore an oath to support the and protect the U.S. Constitution, and part of that is the Second Amendment. I don't necessarily agree with the Supreme Court's interpretation that gun rights go to individuals, but they ruled that way, so that's what we have to protect. Until that gets changed, and you know that'd be my position. I don't necessarily agree that we need to have bump stocks and 30-round magazines, but with today's technology, I don't know how you're going to stop people from having those, because you can go to your 3D printer and build your own bump stock if you want. I have no interest in confiscating people's weapons. Iowa has a respect for weapons that I don't see in other parts of the country, because we all grew up with it. When I was in high school, you go out in the parking lot and the pickup trucks had a shotgun or a rifle in the back window, and we'd even take handguns and rifles into our shop class to build gun racks and make sure they fit. And no, we had an issue with it, because it's not the gun problem. It's the people problem. We've got issues going. Some people say it's all mental health, and I don't know how much of that it is, but there is some component of that into it. But there's other issues that I'm no expert on it, and we've been working on this issue for decades. And the people who should know everything about it haven't figured it out yet, so I'm not sure how I'm going to figure it out. But as far as the Constitution says that you have a right to keep and bear arms, and that's what I will protect.
Another issue, and it's been in the past couple of years, the legislature drastically changed Chapter 20, which handles public employee bargaining rights and such. It used to be there was a much longer list that had to be negotiated. That list is now down to wages. I mean, that is the only thing that has to be negotiated. If you were elected, I mean, would you push to restore Chapter 20 to what it was a couple of years ago, I guess, would maybe be the best way to define that?
I would push to restore Chapter 20 back to its full implementation that it was when they wrote it. This has been working for us for 40 years, and Keokuk was the major player in getting Chapter 20 into the Iowa Code. That we had a teacher strike 44 years ago that really pushed everybody to try and come up with a solution, and Chapter 20 has been a very good solution for us. We've never had any problems with strikes, and everybody has been able to sit at the bargaining table and come up with an equitable agreement to keep people working. When I first got on the Fort Madison City Council, I tried to push to get the Chapter 20 language back in our city code, that we would put that all in all our contracts, and I got pushed back on it, and it didn't happen. I was the only councilman who voted against two of our contracts because it was wages only, and I'd asked that the Chapter 20 language be put in and all permissibles be put in the contract, and they didn't do it, so I voted against them. I wasn't voting against the workers. I wasn't voting against the city. I was voting against the language in the contract. So I think it's very important that we show our workers dignity and allow them to have their voice heard on all issues. There's no reason why we can't talk about things. If they don't work, we tell them no. But we need to have that on the table so everybody can talk about it and everybody gets a chance to get their voice heard.
You mentioned early on concerns about just the direction of the state, where obviously right now the legislature is controlled by the Republican Party, and Governor Kim Reynolds is a Republican in the governor's office. Has there been an initiative, though, that if you were elected, you could say, you know what, while that's a Republican initiative, I could get behind that, or I could reach across the aisle on an issue like that? Anything jump out for you?
Well, they've done so much that's destructive, in my opinion, on for the Iowa workers, that there's probably, if you went through all the different bills, there's probably a couple of items that I would be supportive of. But the problem is that they don't allow the Democrats to get in on the conferences to discuss these items. There's no negotiation. There's no back and forth between the parties on the issues. And I talk to Rich Taylor quite often, our U.S. or our Iowa senator from our area, and he says there's been days that he's just sat at his desk and answered emails because the Republican caucus is in their caucus room discussing what's going to happen for the entire state, and they don't want any input from the public or the Democrats. And I don't agree with that position at all. We used to be able to sit down and talk about the issues and work up a compromise that worked for everybody, and we're not doing that now. So hopefully we can break this stalemate of solid Republican control. I have nothing against Republicans, and I don't believe that all the Republicans in the state agree with what's going on up in Des Moines, because it's hurting our people. And I don't think that was anybody's intent to do. So we need to get back up there at the table and talk to each other again.
We've touched on a number of broad and large issues that are facing the state. Any initiative, any idea that you would have, maybe that first bill or maybe that just that initiative that you're bringing with you if you were elected to Des Moines?
Well, I think the first bills are going to be just some reversals of what's gone over in the last 2 years. I do like to see some more initiatives for entrepreneurial centers in small towns, kind of an incubator situation where we would have maybe a central building where they could share a secretary and a bookkeeper and that kind of thing, because there's a lot of companies that would like to start up and they don't have the business knowledge necessarily or the ability to hire on their own these services. And there's so many people that I've run into that would like to start something, but they don't know where to start. And the small businesses really help the towns, especially our rural towns, tremendously, because they're hometown people, they hire hometown people, and they spend their money in the town they're at. And that kind of growth, they usually stay in the area. We want to make them bigger, but I've always seen the issue seems to be when we have a longtime company that's been local get bought up by a national or international company, and then we just become another pawn, and we end up losing the companies. They get shipped off to another state or another country, and then we've lost our employment base. And by pushing for local businesses, hometown Main Street businesses to grow, we'll be much better off. I want to see more emphasis on apprenticeship programs, trade schools, that kind of thing. Most kids are not, I shouldn't say most kids, a lot of kids are not college bound. That doesn't work for everybody, but our school is always pushing kids to go to college. I went through a 5-year apprenticeship program, and instead of coming out after 5 years with $20,000-$30,000 of debt, I have $10,000-$15,000 in the bank. I've got a good paying job with good benefits. I've done very well, and I know too many kids have gotten college degrees, and they go out and they can't find a job in their field, and they either move out of the state or they take something that is way below their education level, and they've got tens of thousands of dollars worth of debt, and then they struggle after they get out of school. And so we need to change that.
We're obviously looking at the Democratic primary. So the issues are going to sound, a lot of the ideas are going to sound the same, the issues. What separates you? What makes you stand out in a primary?
Well, I don't really know my opponent that well. All I can say is what I have to offer, and that's a lot of my diversity and community involvement. Like I said, I've been in with the city different commissions for many years. I know what goes on and how things are run. Been with the party for many years, know how the party situations work and how to get people motivated to do things. And I'm, like I said, with the bulldog thing, that once I get convinced of an idea, I stick with it and keep pushing on it. I want to see things get better for Lee County, and we're kind of the lost folks down here in the southeast corner that Des Moines and the big cities don't think about us, and I do. And I want things to be better for our community. I like it here. I chose to live in Lee County, and I plan on staying. So I'm motivated to make it better.
We've spoke here for more than a half an hour. What question did I not ask that you, when you walked in here today, that you expected to answer? Any question or any issue that we haven't talked about?
there's just so much going on with the state right now that needs to be changed that we just need to get some good people up in Des Moines that will sit down and listen and take the people's positions on these different issues instead of the big corporations.